And I'm not going to have you move today, but next week, for live stream purposes, we kind of want everybody to kind of come down and be next to each other so it isn't looking so spotty in the house. Amen? All right. I appreciate you. Last week, Children's Church is open. Children's Church is open. Amen. Let's bless God for our children. Amen. 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 Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they shall not depart from it. Amen. And don't mean ain't gonna be some tripping. But it doesn't mean that they'll remember what they was taught, amen? That's why we got to be careful what we teach them, amen? Amen? Okay, all right. Last week, we started a two-part sermon series. It was supposed to be a two-part sermon series that had an old title, yet with all new content. The title of the series actually asked a question that I began last week asking you, are you new? Very simple yet deep question. Last week, for those of you who were here, you were given a handout, and on the handout I asked you, I believe it was 7 questions. And I left my email on the paper just in case there was anything that anyone wanted to discuss. Amen. If you didn't get that paper and you're interested in having that paper, we can most definitely get you that paper, because we had some more ran off. The questions were, again, simple, but the answers, no matter how you answered, are deep. And though I don't know how any of you answered, I know that they were deep because the answers have everything to do with one day where you will spend eternity. Here were the questions. Number one, are you saved? Are you saved? Question number 2 was, what do you consider being saved? Question number 3 was, how much do you read the Bible daily? How much do you read the Bible daily? Question number 4 was, how much time do you spend in prayer daily? Prayer. Not just asking God for stuff, but prayer. Question number 5 was, how important is church to you on a scale of 1 to 10? How important is church to you on a scale of 1 to 10? Question number 6 was, do you still do things that the Bible is against on a regular basis? Do you still do things that the Bible is against on a regular basis? That was question number 6. Question number 7 is God the most important person in your life? And if so, does your daily walk or your daily life reflect that? See, because over the years, we've been taught to say stuff like, of course God is the most important person in my life. But I declare that we say things that are churchy correct, but not necessarily kingdom true. And as a consequence, I promise you, you're not living your best life. Amen? Now, I want to say some things to you about these questions, or more so how you handled the questions. If you threw the paper away and went on with your day, then that can be a telltale sign of where you are in your relationship with God. If you took the questions home and set them to the side and really didn't deal with them, well, that as well can be a telltale sign of where you are in your relationship with God. The questions were given to you in hopes to encourage you to have a real live look at you and where you really are with God. In fact, not only do I recommend that you do this from time to time, the Bible, in fact, warns about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 31, it says, and I want to read this from the Amplified Classic, because it says a few words that I really want us to key in on. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 31 says, Amplified Classic Version says, "For if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings and recognizing our own condition, we should not be judged and penalty decreed by the divine judgment." Now I want to start with the word searchingly. Searchingly means in a way that is intended to find out the truth about something. Let me say that again. Searchingly means in a way that is intended to find out the truth about something. Now we live in one of the most meddling societies of all times. Amen. Especially with social media. Everyone can stay in everybody's business because, you know, it's out there. That's why it always blows my mind when people be saying stuff like, "I don't know why people be in my business, because you put your business on Front Street." How you going to be mad when somebody comment on your life when they shouldn't have known anything about your life? Huh? So we live in one of the most meddling societies of all time, especially with social media. And everyone can stay in everyone's business because it's out there. But here's the question I would like to propose to you today. What if everyone stayed in their own business as much as we stayed in everybody else's business and focused on working on self? See, we say stuff like, "Well, of course, that would be better." But if you really own some, "Of course that would be better," then the question pops up again, then why don't you do it? The Bible says that we need to be intent on finding out the truth about ourselves, about who and what we really are, not just what we want people to think we are. Oh, Lord. The verse goes on to say, watch this, detecting our shortcomings and recognizing our own condition. Now, the word detect means, comes from the root word detect, and it means to discover or identify the presence or existence of something. To discover, the definition is to discover or identify the presence or existence of something. Now this is deep, so let's take it from the top, and I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians 11, 31, it says, "For if we searchingly examine ourselves, detecting our shortcomings." Stop. Now, when you're not feeling well, and this goes on for a couple days, right, you usually make an appointment with your doctor, And when you get there, you tell your doctor what's going on, and he has what's called an examination. He examines you. Catch that. You're having an examination because something don't feel right. Or watch this, because it's important. Or because you got a feeling in your body that you have had before, and you realize what it might be. In the examination, the doctor finds out the problem, or the problem is back. And either way, you begin the necessary steps or process to getting you better and making you whole. It's just like that in the spiritual when you begin to feel off. Lord, have mercy. When you begin to think thoughts that you don't think anymore. When you begin to feel certain types of way about people and things that you shouldn't be feeling anymore, I declare that you may need an examination. Lord, have mercy. You need to get to yourself and begin to do some serious introspection, some real live self-inventory. And the moment, and I mean the very moment that you, watch this, detect stupid, foolish, thirsty, weak, you need to take the necessary, y'all didn't want to say nothing about that right there. Eh? Yeah, because so don't act like you ain't never had a moment where you detected stupid. Yeah, I know you don't like that word. Don't act like you ain't never detected foolish. And watch this, and get this, and I ain't talking about your mate. Oh, Lord. I ain't talking about nobody else. I'm talking about you. You ever have a moment in your life when you begin to say, ooh, you know what? This feel like the last relationship. You know what? This feel like three relationships ago. I think, you know what? I done messed around and bought lunch twice. You know what? I done messed around, bought lunch twice, dinner four times, and I helped on his electric bill. Hold on. Uh-oh. I'm detecting something within my examination. So when you begin to detect stupid, foolish, thirsty, weak, you need to take the necessary steps to begin the process of getting you back on track and getting you back focused. Now, let me tell you something. Because you're a whole human, every now and again, you're going to detect these things. And it will not be until you get strongly rooted in the Word, watch this, that when you begin to see, when things begin to come up against you that make you stupid, that make you do foolish things, that make you act thirsty, that show you weak, when you get in the Word strong, it comes a time in your life where those things will come, watch this, but they don't attract you no more. They don't have the power to steal your attention. Not because anything has weakened about the temptation, but everything to do with how your walk with God has strengthened. This is why it's important to learn the Word and not just go to church. Because going to church ain't gonna keep you on Friday night after you just got paid and you're feeling like woo. Baby, the only thing gonna keep you in that is the Word. Not your friends, not your accountability partners, not any of that. Only thing that's going to keep you is the Word. And what Satan has been strategically successful in is we got a whole bunch of how-to books. Everybody got a podcast. Everybody got a blog. Everybody can tell you how you supposed to be living your best life when for real, you don't know nothing about them. How you know they living their best life? But the Word of God can always be stood on. It's been tried and found true. Amen? You got to get back to being focused because somehow, when you begin to need the examination and you begin to detect these things, it means that somewhere, somehow, there has been a breakdown in your scriptural defense mechanism that we as Christians must stand on daily. That defensive mechanism, scriptural defensive mechanism, is in Proverbs chapter 4 and 23, which says what? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And we know the heart translates to mean mind. In fact, I want to read that same verse from the Easy Read version. You're going to like this one. It says this. It says, above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts your thoughts control your life. See, it doesn't get any more real than that. Be careful how you think or what you think. Have you ever, anybody in here, ever been in a relationship where it was toxic and you knew it, but they had a hold of your mind? Yeah. Oh, Lord, have mercy. They had a hold of your mind, and as a consequence, your life was upside down. Well, this verse tells you what happened. You let something get to your thinking, change or shift the way that you looked at things, and changed your thinking, and now that manipulative thinking, what is controlling your life? And I felt in my spirit when I was given the example of being of getting that we need to get examined after a few days of not feeling right. I felt that someone in here, a couple of people said, I don't go to the doctor. So in other words, some of you continue to put off the obvious, that something is wrong, something's off. And by the time that you get to the doctor, it's not of your own strength. You're being carried in, ambulanced in. And it's far worse than it ever had to be if you would have just heeded the signs instead of hoping that it will just go away or get better. And if we would just be all the way real in here, that's what we do. That's what a lot of us do a lot of the times in our personal lives. Amen. We know it's toxic, but we just hope it'll get better with no reason, no real reason to think that it ever will. I've even heard people say stuff like, I'm hoping they'll just leave, like that's going to happen. And most often, by the time that the relationship comes to an end, there's a victim in the situation. One of the parties is crushed, confused, betrayed on a relationship deathbed. And though they may not die physically, they die mentally and emotionally. You have got to guard your mind. Is it anybody in the building that can attest to that I was connected to something toxic? I was connected to something that wasn't quite right. I was connected. I loved something that didn't love me. I had the back of something that didn't have my back. And as a consequence, I almost lost my mind. This is why you can't be taken by Thick Shonda or Sexy Dex. I'm from the old school. Full Force used to have a song, and in the song it said, yeah, you look good, but can you cook good? Can you read, or is your brain like wood? See, because if your depth is only as deep as you look, Lord, have mercy. what do you do when I don't look good no more? What? Tell me how looking good helps me if I come up with cancer. I need to know that there's something about you that's deeper than what you look like, because life is going to happen. And if we're going to do this thing called life together, I got to know your brain ain't like wood. Let me just say it's safe to say that this series is, it's probably going to be a little longer than 2 weeks, amen? Because we got too much to deal with for me to leave this thing right here. Now, I want you to catch this. A part of being new is doing things that you have never done before. And for many of us in here, guarding our mind from foolishness, manipulation, and the flesh is just something that, just if we just being 100, we really ain't never done. I mean, we talk it, but we ain't never really done it. And some of you going to say, well, how are you going to tell me that I ain't never done it? Because I see you. And I mean no disrespect when I say this, but we just need to go ahead and tell the truth and shame the devil, right? An indication that you didn't guard your mind is when you got babies, but you ain't got no husband. No knock to the babies, but you didn't guard your mind. Because if you'd have guarded your mind, you'd have had the babies and the husband. Now you might have got married and divorced, and that's a whole different demonstration. But then if we got two babies and two baby daddies, but we ain't got no husband, you ain't been guarding your mind. You've been appeasing your flesh. You've been working all your life, but you ain't got a bank account. You ain't guarding your mind. Your wardrobe's dope. You're going to live rich but die broke. Your You see what I'm saying to you? You've not been guarding your mind. And when you don't guard your mind, watch this, you don't guard your lineage. When you don't guard your mind, you don't guard your children. When you don't guard your mind, you don't guard your grandbabies. When you don't guard your mind, you don't guard anybody that you are connected to, because you are vulnerable to anything, and because they are connected to you, they are vulnerable to your mess. You've got to guard your mind. And see, here's the problem with the 21st century westernized church. Everybody wants to be entertained, when the reality is you should want to be empowered. Jesus never came to entertain. The cross was never to entertain you. The cross was to empower you, encourage you, equip you, educate you to be the best you in him that he destined for you to be. Stop looking for the hoop and cling hold to the truth. Lord, have mercy. Let me show you how cold Satan is. There are victims and victimizers. And people are being hurt in one way or another by people. And there's people that's doing the hurting. And here's the cold part of it all. Both the victim and the victimizers are victims to him. They are both being played by him. Remember, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, it says, for if we, and I want to read this out of the New Living Translation, it says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. So watch this. So the haters that hate on you, they don't hate you for no reason. Satan influenced them to hate on you. The spouse that dogs you, it's not that they don't love you. It's that Satan has influenced them to treat you badly. Now I want to say this, and I want everybody in here to hear me and hear me clear. Just because it's not them, but rather it's them being used evilly or being evilly influenced, that don't mean that you're supposed to continue to be a victim. that don't give you a pass to be stupid. And I feel the offense in the spirit when I say that word stupid, but the reality is we need to start calling it like it is so we can do something about it. See, what's more effective to you, Brother Kenny? Man, I understand, but you know, you gotta, or dog, stop being stupid. Dude, you're being stupid. Huh? And the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. In other words, because I'm your friend, watch this, it automatically disqualifies me from being your yes man. It ain't a soul in this building that needs a yes man, but every soul, or a yes woman, but every soul in this building needs somebody that's going to stand next to them and tell them, hey, your stuff really do stink. I know you think you're cute, but hey, maybe you shouldn't wear that, because where are the friends? My wife and I, we be riding down the street sometime, and we see things. I'm just going to go ahead and say, spandex ain't for everybody. Everybody shouldn't do that. And every time we see somebody some way they shouldn't be, we just be like, they ain't got no friends. Walk in Applebee's all crazy. 7 different colors, hair ain't done, and got a spot on your T-shirt. We look at each other and go, and they probably got her paying. Ain't got no friends. You gotta have, let me tell you something. This world is so cold that you gotta have some people in your life that's going to make sure that you don't even get near the cliff, let alone go over the cliff. And you ain't gotta like me, and you ain't gotta speak to me, and we can go a couple of months without you returning my calls, as long as you okay. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, a real friend, watch this, I don't mind losing them, saving them. You understand what I'm saying to you? Oh, God. Let me. Yeah. You don't, because, and we do that. We take scripture and we manipulate ourselves with it, right? Well, you know, it ain't it ain't really them. Pastor said it was flesh and blood, so I'm going to stick it out a little longer because, honey, how long you been sticking it out? Stop playing with the Lord. He said it ain't flesh and blood. He said it's that old devil. Yes, that old devil, and it's also a bit of stupidity. It's a bit of low self-esteem. It's a bit of I don't think that I can be okay without you. It's a bit of I don't like being lonely. Let me tell you something. If you're in a relationship where you're being abused in any shape, form, or fashion, you're already lonely. You just don't know it. Please remember this. When you begin to become new, now this is important. You're going to have to know this. When you become new, or when you begin the process of becoming new, or your spiritual transformation begins to take place, it will begin to annoy people that used to dog, play, and do you wrong. Yeah. Oh, God. It will annoy people. You ever get deeper in God and the people that's supposed to celebrate you actually hate you? You ever stop being the mess and all of a sudden you begin to be the one that can be applauded and you thought, you know, you cooked me old dinner or something, but you won't even answer your phone. Oh, God. And the reason that it upsets and annoys them is because a transformation involving Jesus will begin to strengthen you and expose them. Yeah. And let's just be real. You know, I don't know about none of y'all, but I used to be a user, amen? And one thing that a user don't ever want exposed is that he's a user. Huh? Am I talking in here? Yeah. This transformation hurts because, watch this. Well, why does it hurt when I'm changing? Why does it hurt when I'm getting closer to Jesus? This transformation hurts because it causes strain on relationships with people you were unequally yoked to and people who are comfortable and crazy. That causes a problem. Hold on, how you? Let me tell you something. We got 377 chairs in here, right? Just in this vicinity right here. And if we were to top all the chairs off at the top, so like we could, it would make for about 444 to 450 people, right? Already, and those that's been here long enough know that our church should probably be doing two services by now. Packed out the first time, packed out the second time, right? But you know what happens? Can I just talk to y'all for a minute? It's the single woman syndrome. See, you know, and some of y'all saying, I ain't single, I got a man. If you ain't married, you're single. Yeah. Biblically, I know. Y'all ain't coming back. We ain't never gonna grow. I just don't know how to shut up, do I? I don't know when to stop. Listen. Because I'm blessing you. I'm telling you, I'm blessing you. If you won't be offended, and you'll learn from it, you'll be blessed. But if you ain't married, you're single. And what happens is we watched it, Pastor. You saw this. Hundreds of single women have come in this church. And they'll come on fire. They leave on fire the first time, and they leave on fire the second time. Third time usually is when the boyfriend show up. And it's not because he's feeling churchy. It's because he needs to find out what's going on. There's been some changes at the house, and we need to go over and see what you into. And yeah. Am I talking in here? Am I telling the truth? Any single people know that I'm telling the truth today? Let me go over and see what you, because you know somebody's messing with my hustle. So, what Eddie Murphy says, somebody's throwing a monkey wrench in my whole game plan. What you mean? What you mean I need to be finding an apartment because we ain't married and you ain't supposed to be letting your good be evil spoken of? What do you mean? You need to stop going to that. Them people is the devil. That's what they say. I have literally walked out my door, my office door. My car sits next to my office door. I have literally walked out my door, and dudes be standing there talking about, hey, dog, we need to talk. I don't know what it is you trying to tell my woman. I don't know what you own, but And so guess what happens? Guess what happens? Oh, Lord, I'm teaching it. You know what happens? They get put in a situation to where it's us or the church. And because they ain't been in the church long enough to be able to control their flesh, to be able to tell the old man to stand down, because they're not confident enough that God, what God has for them, they didn't hear the verse that said, I will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. And you know, I got a couple kids, and ain't either one of them his, and you know, he helped with the bills, and guess what happens? We don't see him no more. And then we see him, wifey and I, see him a couple months later somewhere, and it's a horrible situation. Ain't even with that joker no more, but watch how Satan works. But I'm embarrassed to go back, because everybody probably know why I left. Oh, God, I'm talking. Can I just go ahead and bless you today? It was never the joker. It was always Satan. The joker was just being used by Satan. The joker's a joker because of Satan. But the joke's on you. Because, oh, Lord, have mercy. Whew, all right. I promise to come back next Sunday. I'll preach better, I promise. Watch this, we're almost done, I promise. This transformation hurts because, like I said, it's a strain on the relationships, right? And this transformation in Jesus will, watch this, I want you to write this one down. It will challenge your soul position. It will challenge the position of your soul. It will show you the truth about where you really are with God, and more importantly, where you really are not. And that transformation will cause you to shift your thinking and perspectives, which will allow your soul to be put in right alignment with God. Now, I want you to understand this, that as your life and your heart and your mind is being thrust into right alignment with God, there's going to be some people that can't go to this next level. And you're going to have to be okay with being alone. But see, when you really get mature, you understand that you're never alone, because he said, I'd never leave you nor would I ever forsake you. You understand what I'm saying to you? And some people ain't calling you back, not because they ain't digging you, but because God says, I got better for you. So you ought to thank God for how many times the call dropped that you didn't receive. And you ought to thank you. Some of y'all ever get some dude tell you, or some woman tell you, I called you, but it went straight to voicemail. But you got everybody else's call. You ought to just go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise. Wasn't nothing wrong with your phone. The towers wasn't down. God just said, I got a better plan for you. But because you ain't strong enough to say no on your own, I'm going to have to do some things for you to keep you straight so that you don't lose your mind. See? Yeah. Yeah. This shift with God, this journey that I am inviting you to be a part of being new. New means lacking nothing, complete, and something that they have never seen before. And one of the telltale signs that you're on point with God in your process of becoming new is when everything around you becomes agitated. You cannot be new staying the same. And I understand, baby, you don't change years overnight, but we gotta start taking some steps. And when we take the steps and it seems like all hell breaks loose on our life, that is not an indication that you've made the wrong move. That's an indication that Satan is desperate, and that he is fearful that you are about to tap into your purpose, your destiny, your next level, your breakthrough, your setting free. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so find it not strange when you leave church and all hell's breaking loose in your life. You got to be okay in this process. You're going to have to be okay with being by yourself. And then here's the thing. Watch this. You really ain't by yourself. Because people say, they kill me when they say this, I ain't got nobody. No, you don't call nobody. It ain't that you ain't got nobody. Say it again. Listen to the prophet, you don't call the right people. Amen. Because the Bible tells us, blessed is those that walk in the counsel, that not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I was talking about this, I think it was Bible study. Never take advice from somebody that ain't saved. I don't care what their right record is. It's all a temptation to one day, when you ask the serious question, to lead you the wrong way. That's why unsaved people say stuff like, girl, I don't know why you stay with him. You need to just mess with somebody else. But she's married. It ain't just that easy. But it is for the one that's not with God. Man, you need to just look, man, you know, she going to act like that. I mean, you know, shawty over here, she ain't even going to say nothing. You need to get even. That'll teach him. Huh? Guard your mind. Watch what you are letting people affect how you think. This is all the beginning stages of becoming new. You have to decide. And so here's the first step. Do I believe God of the Bible? And does the Bible settle it in my life? And if you get to the point to where the Bible settles it in your life, everything else is easy. We ain't got to go back and forth. We ain't got to think about it. No. The Bible settles it. That's it. So how is it that so many Christians are having a hard time keeping the word? Because we really ain't Christians. Jesus said, you'll know those. He says, those that love me will keep my commandments. You'll know those that are mine by the love that they show and that they keep my commandments. If we don't keep the commandments, we can't claim him. You can claim him, but you ain't getting nothing back on the claim. Y'all understand what I'm saying to you today? This stuff is critical, and we're going to go through this process step by step about being new, because see, the thing is that we've got a distorted view of what new is. You can't be new in here today. Oh, God, I'm going to get in trouble again. Old in TDs next week. Yeah. You can't do that. You can't be old in here today. Single ladies, can I help you? And I'm done, because I feel like I'm going to get jumped. Let me help single people. Not just single women, single people. Mainly single women, though. Stop training improperly, looking for something proper. Because 9 times out of 10, the way it works is that the woman comes to church first. She decides that she digs the church. She feels like the presence of the Lord is in the church. But she don't understand why her dude won't act right. But the reality is, the dude won't act right because he still considers himself your God. Why? Because you listening to me, not to God. I don't care how much church you went and got. I don't care how much dancing you done, speaking in tongues, running around church, Christ, not all that. You still doing what I say over what the Word of God say. So we hustling backwards. We're trying to come home with a message in a sinful situation. And he's saying, but ain't nothing you heard or nothing you read, no matter how deeply you prayed, was powerful enough to make you tell me to get out. To make you tell me we can't do you know what no more. And we're trying to figure out why. I don't know what's wrong with him. You wrong with him. Because it's not necessarily that this wasn't supposed to be your husband, but you killed all kingdom possibility when you played married instead of been married. I don't know why I'm on this today. Here's my last statement and I'm out. Anytime that you lay with a person that is not your mate, you rob them of the emotional responsibility that is due to you. In other words, you can wake up that next morning and be like, I got a headache, and he don't got to get you no aspirin. because this was an instance, not a relationship. It's reasons God say do it the way he say do it. It's reasons God says don't do it like this. This is going to get you caught up. This is going to get you hemmed up. There's reasons. Now, and in my conclusion, how many in here in this building consider themselves to be real? Let me see your hands and hold them. I don't want you to hold them because I want to look around the room. Do you consider yourself to be real? Don't be worried about what I'm going to do. Say, just tell the truth. Okay, so I'm looking. Keep your hands up. Real. Okay. All right. Now, I got two things about that. You can let them down. If you're that real, I'll see you back Sunday. This one shouldn't have ran you away. You understand what I'm saying to you? And because we used to say all the time in the street, I'm real. But then we get in church and be real fake. Let me ask that question just for fun's sake. How many of us are real when it comes to the things of God? Now look, God know. Now, isn't it amazing that the number ratio of being real and real for God was about that far apart? So watch this. You ready for this part? And I'm done. So if you're real, but you ain't real for God, who are you real for? And maybe that explains a whole lot. Are you new? The next couple of weeks, we're going to be dealing with this subject. Notice we ain't even talked about a new scripture yet, right? We're just building up to all of that. We're going to take our time with this because I want to see you be everything in God that you're supposed to be. Amen? God bless you.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We have a pastor who teaches, not only preaches, but teaches the word. And the truth, man, it hurts. It hurts. It makes you examine yourself. Look at yourself with God's eyes. If there be one in the house that would like to give your life to God, if you're tired of being the same old you with the same old results, and you're still in that pit,